Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Like you can't just like create a community that's completely separated from the world because the world needs to be evangelized and all that. But it's like when it's less about the world now, it's more about the parish and like the schools, because it's like, when the parishes and the schools are rejecting you, when the parishes are rejecting you and the church itself is rejecting you, it's hard to be like, I want to be a part of this community that no longer wants me here.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast hosted by two blithering blockheads. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The only podcast hosted by two boobs.
I said that because we watched. Well, do you want to tell them about what the show is?
What show?
Our show, The Crunch.
Oh, the
show that we're on right now.
How did you get in here? Welcome to The Crunch.
Boo.
This is a podcast Catholic podcast where Ethan and I talk about a topic of theology and we goof off a little too. Yeah. We think more people should have conversations like this and we're glad you're here. Anyway, what were you saying?
We were watching the 1954 Peter Pan with our son today.
Oh, nice.
And I love it when they call each other blockheads or idiots, because people just don't say that stuff anymore. Like,
dude, they had shut up and stupid in Dr. Seuss, and I was like, you can't say that anymore. Can't put that in a children's book anymore.
They're smoking weed with the Native American tribe. Peter, the best part, dude. Peter sees the sword fight, and now he's all about sword fight. And so he just will yell, sword fight, and then he just goes, and it's amazing. To have a child.
That's what we need.
Who loves, you know, violence.
Phoebe doesn't like the Butter Battle book. I've told you about this. She doesn't like the Butter Battle book. I love the Butter Battle book. It's my favorite book. And she doesn't like it because it gets increasingly violent and then it doesn't end.
Mm-hmm.
It like ends on a cliffhanger.
Like life.
Yeah, I was like, exactly, Phoebe, because we don't know who's going to drop the nuclear bomb. He wrote this at the height of the Cold War. He doesn't know who's going to drop the bomb, right? Butter Battle book, great book. And I was like, no, Phoebe, we got to expose our son to cartoon violence. It's very important. That kit, you need to have it.
I was laughing so hard. I don't remember it being this funny when I was a kid, but the scene in Peter Pan where they're in the cave and the crocodile is trying to eat Captain Hook, and it just is, he keeps trying to escape and comically the crocodile is just there every time no matter which direction he goes. He just runs into the crocodile's mouth and
I was just afraid when I was a kid.
He keeps trying to pry open the mouth all these different ways, and eventually they are almost out to escape, and then he rams his head into the cave, so Smee goes out with the boat, but he gets stuck. And then immediately after, the crocodile just blasts through the wall. It's so funny, dude. It was crazy. I was like, man, I should not be laughing this hard. And Peter's just laughing because we're laughing, but Emma and I are just like genuinely enjoying the slapstick comedy. It's actually really good. You guys should go back and watch it. I've decided that
I never considered this. I forget where I heard this. It may have been on Is This for Kids, but
probably.
The movie is about never growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And
Neverland.
Neverland. And the villain is afraid of a crocodile who swallows a ticking clock. And so the villain is just like Peter, constantly running from time, the inevitability of time catching him. The crocodile is a metaphor for death.
It's a very Reddit analysis of the movie. The movie is about a boy who comes and takes kids to a place where there's pirates and tigers and lions and bears and Indians.
I don't think it's a...
And
I
then
think it's,
takes
I think
them
it's
back.
Just a face... I think it's a face value.
I think some things...
It's about never wanting to grow up and the adult never wants to die. I think that's the...
I don't even think it's that. I think it's about an evil pirate who wants to kill the boy because the boy chopped his hand off and fed it to a crocodile. I think that's what the movie's about.
So he got a taste for human blood.
Yes.
And now wants to eat
and
the
comically continued to open his mouth and eat. There's also a scene at the end where he's running away from the crocodile and he goes spit out really fast and he's skipping across the water and the audio only plays when he skips. So he goes, It's amazing. There's so many gags in this film. That's what the movie's about.
But the movie is also about not wanting to grow up.
And it's also
Peter
about how
shows
much
up because
yeah.
Peter shows up because it's time for Wendy to leave the nursery.
No.
And the dad and Captain Hook look exactly the same.
No. It's about
they totally
pirate.
Do.
It's about pirates and fighting and flying and mermaids. And beating each other on the head with clubs. You missed the point of the movie.
Systematic racism, according to the warning. Did you get the warning label or on Disney Plus?
I was thinking about this. I wish that Disney Plus had a section where you could filter by movies that just have that warning label.
Just have that.
So you instantly know that you're watching something that's good. If they have to like warn you, like, oh,
I
want to
know
what
I
want to
know
one.
What Disney's. I want to know what Disney's like criteria. For representation, like at what point is a movie like, hey, this movie contains depictions that are bad, and mm-hmm. at what point is it Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Like at which depiction of a race goes under the
yeah.
warning label, and which one goes under the mm-hmm. didn't we do a great job showing what Polynesian women look like?
Right.
You know?
I think it's Peter Pan is funny because the first line that Peter Pan says is, man, women sure do talk a lot. Which is, I feel like it's more anti-women than it is anti-Native American.
Peter Pan is very anti-women.
He
yes.
is.
But that is the crux of boyhood. I think boys
yeah.
need to hate girls.
I think
first.
That's true.
Yeah. That yeah. period of their life is when it's like when young kids are mean to their mom and dad. It's because they're going through a separation. They're like trying to mm-hmm. forcibly separate mm-hmm. themselves. And so boys and girls are mean to each other when they are start to realize that they're different.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's scary. It's scary stuff. I recommend it. If you guys haven't seen the original Peter Pan in a while, get your 2-year-old son and watch it. Because then he will yeah no I think it's hard with the race stuff because how do you this is the point that famed Catholic conservative commentator Matt Walsh made in his documentary Am I a Racist?
Did you watch it?
No, but I've seen the clip about the Moana problem.
Oh yeah
and everyone tells me like, oh, go check out the movie. But I'm not going to go see the movie. I'll watch it when it comes out on Daily Plus or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
On
I'll watch it. You probably get a bootleg of it.
Probably.
I like Matt's beefs with critics because they always send the video. Did you see that bit with him in Rolling Stone where he called – there was an editor – there was a writer, a movie critic at Rolling Stone. He called him out because he was like, hey, this guy wrote like a piece calling my movie misogynistic and racist, but we sent him the movie on the platform we used for the screening, and we can see how much of it he watched, and he watched 0% of it.
Whoa.
And his boss watched 11% of it.
Whoa.
So how are they able to tell?
Owned.
And I know, right? And so now no one's reviewing it, I think, because they're just...
Well, yeah, because I think it's very clear... It's just all a house of cards. It all collapses.
Yeah.
Like when you, all he does in that movie, to my understanding, is just repeat what they're saying back to them. And they're like, yeah. And it's just an obvious logical inconsistency. I think that stuff that he does is great. I think when he gets on Twitter and he's like, oh, I never take sick days. I'm like, shut up, Matt Walsh. You just make one documentary a year. Great. I love your documentaries. Do that. You do not need to get on X, the everything app, and tell people that they shouldn't be taking sick days because you went to your job once because you're a very tough podcaster. Stupid.
You don't have a real job. This is coming from a podcaster. Anyway, I agree with you. I am very excited for his interview with Robin DiAngelo, who even at the height,
she the fifth Ninja Turtle.
Even at the height of the anti-racism thing,
mm-hmm.
I read that. I read her book, and I was like, "This ain't it."
What was her book? What's the name of it?
It was called White Fragility. You can go back. You can go back and listen to the tapes in 2020. I will say, I gave Ibram Kendi a little more credit than I probably should have. I think he's a smart person, and I thought his book was very well written. Made some good points. I thought that Stamped was a better book than Anti-Racism. However, you can go check the tapes. I was never a fan of Robin DiAngelo, and I read her book, and I was like, this book. This seems silly. This seems stupid. She says things like racism is. She's the main spokesperson for the anti-racism thing that everyone hates. Mm-hmm. The things that people say like black people can't be racist because they have no social power. She defines racism as a member of a higher class being prejudiced against a member of a lower class. So like by definition, people that are lower class races cannot be racist against other people, which immediately breaks down once one black person makes $1 million.
Yeah. Or if there's a poor white guy, which
exactly
of that's which why, there exactly are plenty. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she said that. And then there was also
a commie gobbledygook is what that is.
The chapter that really got me was when she talked about how she goes and like does these corporate seminars. And I was like, there it is. That makes sense. Anyway, she goes and does these corporate seminars and like they talk about the plight of black Americans in this country, and sometimes the women cry, and that's the title of the book is White Fragility. She's like, white women tears are of violence because white women's tears have been used in the past for lynchings. And I'm like, Robin, calm down. that's a little too far. I feel like my white coworker crying over the death of an innocent man by the hands of police is not the same thing as the woman who falsely accused Emmett Till of raping her. That feels different, right? But according to Robin DiAngelo, it's the same thing.
I don't know. I don't have any comments on this. Obviously, I think it's on this? Obviously
this is another
I think
one
it's
of my
wrong.
Esoteric beefs.
No, it's not an esoteric beef. I think you're correct in not liking the White Fragility lady, but you've gone to a level of depth that I cannot match. And
that's
so,
because you didn't read the book.
I didn't read the book, and also I knew it was all bogus from the get-go, so I never read. You never catch me reading Ibram X. Kendi. Never in my life.
Dude, Stand from the Beginning was interesting. He went through American history and was like he like did a historical analysis from 1600 to that's more in depth than any of these other people were doing.
That's fair.
So
you're voting for Kamala. You lied on your space, on your X space. That you did.
I think he did a really great job, and I think he misdiagnosed some things, you know.
I think you need to go further to the right. On X, the everything app.
You think so?
I think you're in this weird middle ground where you're like people like Trad West and AOP, where you're like, Catholicism's true, and I know it, but I need you to go further. I need you to get deep. I need you to make a profile picture that's
Bug Hall.
I need you to make a profile picture that's red and blue with the red eyes. You know, that's what I want from you.
You need me to be Bug Hall. Calling
Bug Hall's been having a week.
Calling my five daughters. Oh man, people get mad at him. I don't think they need to be getting mad at him.
It's kind of like when you see kind of like a crazy guy on the park bench, you know. Yeah. You kind of need to like wish him well, but you don't need to wish him harm, you know. There's no reason to kick. He's on the park bench already. Leave him be.
The man obviously has better things to, the man obviously has other fish to fry. He clearly doesn't care that you are mad at him on Twitter.
This is the guy who hits deer with his car and then puts it in his trunk and then brings it home and cooks it and eats it and serves it to his family.
I think that's awesome.
It's beast, actually. I love that.
But I think people just like punching him because it's yeah. easy. You know, they get to feel morally superior. Like, I would never say a sexist thing. It's like, really? Awesome. What, do you want a cookie? You would never say a sexist thing? That's amazing. I told my dad what Bughall said. He immediately started laughing and cackling. That's like just Gen X dad humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like,
that's can not you even tell people what he said?
Sorry. Yes. He said that he had a son, and he said, "Oh, I finally have an heir." And someone said, "You have 5 daughters." And he said, "I said an heir, not a dishwasher."
Whoa.
Which is like, come on. That's a little too much.
It's weird to say about your own kids.
It is weird to say that about your own kids, especially when they're not really that old enough to wash right. dishes. You know?
Do you see the other time where he was like, we start corporal punishment at 10 months?
Crazy.
Insane. It's like, dude, crazy. What does it take? I guess you can spank your 10-month-old. I don't know what that accomplishes.
They don't really understand it.
Can't even walk yet, you know? Yeah. Bizarre.
Your 10-month-old can't walk? Skill issue. Vaxxed? Probably.
I don't know. I'd have forgot what age Peter started to walk. I really don't remember.
I don't know either.
There are some 10-month-olds that can't walk. Some babies are so fat, it takes them like 3 years to walk.
Leo did start walking at about 1. Yeah. They're really cute when they start walking because they still got crawl fat. They're still fat babies.
Oh, they're
Once
so
they start
thick.
Walking, they just drop. But, like, yeah. it's funny to see them walk because they look like little penguins. They're just waddling. But, yes, Bughall says sexist things on Twitter to get a rise out of people.
Yeah. A lot of it is bait.
Yeah.
People don't realize that it's bait.
Or they do, and they're just like, they're just like, oh, thank you. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I love worms on hooks. I have a bunch of hooks mm-hmm. in my mouth. They just like it because they get to feel. It's a big, like, what's it called? It all goes around in a circle, whatever that's mm-hmm. called.
Yeah.
Everybody, sure. everybody's getting what they need. You know, we're all having a good time.
Frick, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers. And we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career.
Yeah.
Because I was the youngest person on staff, I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work at a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of the stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes mm-hmm. care of all of that for you.
I just send him every day. I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first 3 people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first 3 people, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a forum, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye.
I'm tired of it. Anyway, it's good to be here on the Crunch. I did want to talk about speaking of people who get canceled on Twitter, and what was the other thing it was connected to? Speaking of the woke mind virus.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to that Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling podcast that came out a couple of years ago. Do you remember?
I don't
that?
Know about this. I haven't heard of this. I know about the Harry Potter and the Sacred Word podcast, where they dissect each chapter of Harry Potter as if it's a chapter of scripture.
Yeah, that was like a couple of years. They did that several years ago.
That was like 10 years ago. Is this the same people?
No, they did that. Oh. They did that before all this happened, I bet. Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
Yeah.
They were doing that every week. They did a different chapter as if it were a sacred text.
That's like what I said, but you just said it again.
No, they did a big episode. Sorry. They did a big episode. And I don't know why I repeated it. That's the point. They did a big episode about like how they were going to continue doing that podcast.
Yeah.
Despite what J.K. Rowling said. So J.K. Rowling did a series of tweets about anti-trans people. Right. It was against trans people.
Doesn't it suck when you find out that God is a TERF and then you have to keep reading his Bible? Brutal.
Imagine finding out that your God is not a liberal, but it's not like, and he's not liberal enough, you know? Just sucks.
Imagine you find out that your God is a Jean-Jacques Rousseau liberal and not a Camille Paglia liberal.
I can't think of any other liberals.
There's only two.
There's only two. I don't even know who Camille Paglia, not a Judith Butler liberal.
Did I say her name right? She's like a friend of the church, but is a severe liberal. She's an American academic and a social critic. The more you need to know. Carry on.
We need fewer social critics. Goodness gracious. If I have one more person in my replies say they're if I see one more person on Twitter who's got like gadfly in their bio,
I don't know what that means.
The gadfly is what Socrates was called because he was like it's a biting fly. He's the gadfly on the butt of Athens, the horse with like a horsefly.
That's such an obtuse insult.
I know. They would call him that because he's like, oh, you're annoying and you're like . And so people call themselves that because they're like, I critique society. I wake people up. All 68 of my followers, I wake all of them up.
Yeah. Anyway. You smell like a horse's ass is what you smell like.
That's you are gadfly. The horse. All
right. Yeah. Carry on. Keep going. Tell me about the woke mind virus.
So the podcast, the woke mind virus, this podcast is about her as a person and what she believes and how that has how she has drawn ire over the years, because they draw out this obvious weird reaction or this weird this conundrum where in the 90s, or I guess the 2000s, the main people who were upset about J.K. Rowling were the fundamentalist Christian right. And they were trying to get the books banned and they were burning them, etc. And now in the mid 2020s, the people that are upset about J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter are the exact opposite. The far left. They're like they played some clips where people were like, she is literally causing the death of trans kids. And I was like, that's not correct.
J.K. Rowling is devising a saw trap.
It's disgusting and it's problematic. And I was like, I need you to stop using all of those buzzwords that tell me to not listen to you. I could do a whole podcast on how I hate those words. I just found it interesting, and I listening to this podcast again and like hearing J.K. Rowling's opinions and like kind of revisiting Harry Potter, I'd like to revisit our opinion on Harry Potter.
I thought we did this a couple weeks ago.
Did we talk about Harry Potter a couple weeks ago?
I talked about the movies. I talked about how I thought it was a right wing.
Oh, we did talk about how it was a right wing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You talked about how it was a right wing militia.
Yeah.
Right wing militia book.
Yeah.
They brought out the she talks a lot. She talked a lot about in the podcast about her her moral code going into the book. Mm-hmm. And I think that Harry Potter is a representation of the post 20th century, like the post-war moral code in a fantasy novel. Like it's the novelization of the moral code that it no longer exists, and that's why Harry Potter is coming into losing its popularity among the intellectuals and the far left, the progressive movement, because it represents a moral code that they no longer espouse and that they consider to be conservative. And it's not just that Harry Potter is rebelling against the tyranny, but it's also she mentions that she had a strong anti-bullying message throughout the book. So the obvious bad guys, not only are the bullies, but their dads are Nazis.
That's pretty funny. Yeah,
it's like pretty hardcore, like anti-bullying,
and they're all in the Nazi club at school.
They're all in the all of the bullies are concentrated in one place, one house, in one club, where their mascot is a snake. It's very
It's funny because it's like Gryffindor is Britain and Slytherin is just Germany, and Ravenclaw Hufflepuff is France and Ravenclaw is Spain or something. It doesn't matter
what
Ravenclaw
know.
Is. But it just is wild how it's just all these people over here are good. All these people over here are bad, which is nice. It's convenient. It's very post 9/11, you know, like all those people over there, get rid of them. You know, all the people over here, very good.
Very good. But yes, I think that it's not just about the, So it's not just about you can tell I haven't thought about this very well.
That's okay, man. That's what we're here for, man.
But bullying is very important to
the left needs bullying. Yeah, they have to bully other people to submit to them.
That's probably one reason why it's out of favor now, is because bullying is necessary. You have to you have to silence the opposition. And this is not unprecedented in leftist movements. It's how the Reign of Terror started. It's like, we have to silence the opponents of the people who aren't liberal enough. This podcast is making me think, because this guy said one thing and I was like, the two lawyers who were fighting over whether or not a school should be allowed to ban Harry Potter or restrict Harry Potter. The one guy changed his mind on it later in life. The guy who was pro banning Harry Potter, the school board being allowed to ban Harry Potter. He was like, well, I realized that if we start banning books that are against the Christian worldview, then that opens up, you know, what if then they're going to ban books that promote the Christian worldview? And I was like, okay, so that's happened anyway. So what do we do? You know, like they're now banning books, which I think Harry Potter is not inconsistent with the Christian worldview. It's like, let's say it's consistent with a worldview. Okay. Now they're banning the Harry Potter books because that's consistent with the worldview they disagree with. So I guess I don't know. I want you to talk.
No, well, I'm waiting for you to finish your thought. You kind of ended on a cliffhanger there.
Ah, much like the Butter Battle book.
try to wrap up your point. You were close to tying it in a bow, and I wanted to see where you landed.
Yeah. I think maybe we should ban more books. I don't know. No, I think we should stop. I think that it's the that thinking, the the marketplace of ideas thinking is you can't stand up to an opponent that's like, okay, well then I'm just going to force you to do what I want because you're not willing to make a claim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not willing to say this thing is wrong and it should not be allowed. So I'm going to tell you that this thing is right and it is now mandatory. Not just allowed, it's mandatory.
Right.
You know?
This is interesting. I'm heading down to the marketplace of ideas. You need anything?
Pick something up. They did it with the wrong book. They shouldn't have lost their mind over Harry Potter.
What book should they have lost their mind over?
They should have saved it for something that mattered, that was more clearly wrong, you know?
Like the Bible?
No. Like I'm saying that the fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, they wasted their energy.
It was all a psyop.
Yeah.
They did. They got the.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
They tried to ban the Golden Compass. You remember this? They had to get rid of the Golden Compass because the guy who wrote it was like, "I'm an atheist and I'm writing these books so that more kids become atheists." Which I feel like that's the one we should ban. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't. I mean, was there a more pernicious series of books? Anime.
It was just popular.
Yeah.
It's easy to hate
the popular thing.
It was just popular. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all very curious now, because
you can't say it's obviously not true that Harry Potter caused the proliferation of witchcraft because it was so popular, and like there aren't a proportional number of witches, you know.
Yeah, now the witches are going out of their way to distance themselves from Harry Potter, so I don't
precisely.
It was kind of a it didn't really make any sense.
Hey. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. You can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. I'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later.
I don't know what I think about the book banning thing. To me, it just is an argument for you should homeschool your kids. Like this... I was having an argument today the other day on X, the Everything app, about school.
Yeah.
Because I was saying that I should be allowed to play basketball in the school gym. This will wrap back around to books, I promise.
You should be allowed to play basketball in the school
gym. I should be allowed to play basketball in the school gym. I play basketball with my friends. It's coming. Winter's coming up. We play early in the morning. We play at like 6 a.m. My thought is, hey, there's no one at the parish school gym at 6 a.m. What if I invited a bunch of parish dads to come play before school started? And I was upset that they wouldn't let me. So I tweeted about it, naturally. And I did a little bait of my own, right? I kind of threw a little thing on the end, like, this is why men aren't involved in Catholic parishes. And everyone's like, rawr, 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 rawr. And people got all mad, which is great. Yeah. This is what I wanted. But
it died down quicker than I thought it would.
I thought it would get bigger. But when everyone that quote tweets me is hiding behind a locked account, it doesn't really go as fast.
That's
so true. I had like 6 quote retweets. I couldn't see any of them. I'm like, man, they're going wild over there.
They're cooking you in the locked replies.
Yeah. I get like a 1 quote retweet on almost every tweet that I make, and I can't see it. Like, so I don't know who is out there annoyed by me, but I hope they're doing well. So I was thinking about this, and I DM'd our mutual friend, or someone that we've known on Twitter for a long time, Lauren, because she put some good thoughts, right? She was like, okay, mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I would want a bunch of strange men to be in my school in the morning, like before school starts. And I responded to her and I was like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not a strange guy. Like, I go to the same parish as the school. Yeah. I like give talks around the diocese. I'm like vetted. Like, I've done the training, the safe environment training. One of the other dads that I will play with, he like works at this parish. You know, another one was a focus missionary and previously worked at the diocese. Like, I don't know how much more vetted a group of men can be, you know? Like, I'm just kind of scratching my head. Like, if you can't trust us, then you just trust nobody. And that seemed to be kind of the consensus. It's like, no group of men should be allowed in the school. Now, I get some people were saying like, oh, it's, you don't have a right to it. But part of me is like, it's the school belongs to the parish, not the other way around, you know? And I'm a member of the parish. And we were having these arguments.
Is the gym attached to the school?
It is, but I also think there's external doors. So it's like, why can't you just unlock the one external door and leave the rest of the doors locked? Like, there's ways around this.
If you're playing at 6 and you play for an hour, kids don't show up until 7:30 for school.
That's what I mean. So there's lots of, I get the arguments for both sides, but the one thing that someone said to me was, your argument is essentially that bureaucracy is an attack on male community, which is dangerous, is what they said. I said, I don't think that's not my argument. My argument is not that bureaucracy is an attack on male community. My argument is that bureaucracy is an attack on community, fundamentally. Yes. Because what you're doing is basically saying, we as a community, in this example, the parish, we do not have enough trust in you, who is also a member of this community, to be here in this school without proper supervision. Now, what does proper supervision mean? Lady with a keychain ring, you know, that's
someone who's more a member of the community watching,
right? Someone who is, interestingly enough, paid by the community to be there, which is kind of counterintuitive, right? Like, if you care about the community, you shouldn't need to be paid to be a part of it. So someone who's paid to be there to watch us, let's take this all the way to the extreme, right? That's really not going to stop. If there's a group of men that want to go in there and like steal and abuse kids, a lady with on her phone at 6 a.m. with a keychain is not going to stop a group of 10 men from marauding in the school, you know? Right. So it's like, but you can't say that without sounding like a rapist. So, so it's this weird thing where, like, I feel like an outsider in my own community because I'm not trusted, which makes me want to just like not be a part of the community. So it goes back to the book thing, because it's like, okay, at the end of the day, the only person really, I'm not trusted here in this group of people. The other people don't trust me. Nobody knows what books to let their kids read. They're banning the right books. They're banning the wrong books. Who's to say? The only person that knows well enough to know what my kids should and shouldn't read is me. At the end of the day, I'm not really going to trust a librarian, because the librarian, even at a Catholic school, could be a crazy pink-haired whatever, or they could be a wild fundamentalist that's like, you can't read anything that has even a hint of evil in it, which is also not right. You know, I think you got to teach people how to engage with this stuff.
Got to have movies with crocodiles in them.
Exactly. So I'm in this weird spot where I hear what you're saying and I'm having this experience. And part of me is just like, okay, I guess the only solution is just to exist in my family and then take part in the broader school community or the broader church community when I have to, because those are the only times when it like makes sense for me. Cause otherwise it's too chaotic. So I'm interested in your thoughts on just the bureaucracy and in the community aspect of things.
Yeah. Cause I mean, in my parish is just, I guess, just different. Like
in Florida, it is. There's no safe environment policies in Florida, so it's a lawless land.
I didn't say this in response to you, but like we turned our school gym and our youth room once into temporary housing for homeless families.
Amazing.
We didn't fingerprint them first. They were just they were living there while school was in session. I don't know how to tell you. The gym was detached, obviously, but
sure, it's a little different.
That's just where the showers are, and it's also their privacy. Like, we don't want them to have to be like, oh, there's a school going on right here while we're living here. Right. But yeah, it's like we're willing to make exceptions for that, you know. Anyway, it's obviously that's an extenuating circumstance. I think that I feel like you were just told no because, and safe environment was just the reason, because it was just easier to say no than to say yes, which is
right.
That's my life. I'm in sales, so I get that. Mm-hmm.
I get
that just
it too.
Happens all the time.
That's just how people. It's the I didn't want to get into all this, but the thing that is really annoying to me is like you kind of get pigeonholed. I'm like trying to do something, right? I know that I'm not going to stop, right? I'm not going to stop playing basketball with guys and inviting them. I'm going to find another way to do this. It's not the be all end all that it happens at the parish. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the parish should hand me anything on the platter. In fact, I'm just trying to create it for myself. I don't need the parish to do anything. But it seems like that the only thing that the community approves of for men is like when they sit in little groups and they drink their little coffee and they watch their little Father Mike Schmitz video and they like talk about it. And then anything more than that is like, sorry, safe environment policy. Yeah. We don't really do that here, you know? So it's like no wonder that dads just don't get involved, because it's like a bunch of other guys that have resigned to the fact that all they're worth is showing up and sitting around and talking, which is fine for the people that need it. But for most men, I would say that it's the church would be better off. Men's group would be better off being a weightlifting morning or a basketball morning or a group run or something, you know, depending on age and ability and all that stuff. It'd be better to just do that every day or every week than to have a men's group where you were watching Bishop Barron's Catholicism series. Shut up. What?
I'm don't tired. Care.
Yes.
This is homework.
And then you're subjected to the most boomer takes on faith that you've ever heard in your life after the video's over. I thought that was really, you know, I really think that, you know, I gotta take this a little bit more seriously, you know? Okay, Carl, you've been saying that for 55 years. Do you know Christ? Have you repented of your sins of usury? No? Carl, shut up, dude.
No, Weatherman Carl is a good man.
I keep picking out the name Carl.
You keep it's picking not on purpose. Carl.
I need to find a better default name. How about Jim?
Jim.
That's the name on this book that I got here. I'm reading this book about copywriting. It's by a guy named Jim.
Nice.
Anyway.
So, yes, I agree with you. I think, hold on, we tied that into the J.K. Rowling book.
It was tied into the books because I was like, I don't want to be a part of this community because I want to just homeschool my kids and I'll just let them read whatever they want, you know.
It's hard.
Dad, can I read Camp of the Saints? Of course you can, son. Of course you can read Camp of the Saints. I'll go buy a copy for you on eBay for $300.
It's hard because the community that we keep saying, you know, like it's Benedict option is not an option, right? That's a quote that Ben Eastman likes to throw back at me that I've said before. it's like as much as that is the case and is true, I still think it is somewhat true. It's like you can't just like create a community that's completely separated from the world because the world needs to be evangelized and all that. But it's like when it's less about the world now. It's more about the parish and like the schools, because it's like, when the parishes and the schools are rejecting you, when the parishes are rejecting you and the church itself is rejecting you, it's hard to be like, I want to be a part of this community that no longer wants me here. Anyway, I don't think it's good, because a family is the fundamental unit of society, but it's not a complete society unto itself. It's a complete society unto itself, but it's not self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like human culture is not a single-celled organism. So despite the fact that a family is the cell of society, it's not a single cell. Like if you take a single cell out of your body and leave it alone, it'll die. Right.
The mitochondria is the family of the society.
The mom is the powerhouse of the cell.
Fact.
Real. So
it is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication in my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmost Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had, because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmost. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed, because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmos, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmos, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmos.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them The Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update. So I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that The Crunch sent you. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them The Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Today, Emma was like, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. I deep cleaned this morning. I'm really sleepy. Da, 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 da. And then this afternoon, she's making pretzels at home with raw ingredients. And then she's like, I just thought I should make pretzels. And I was like, you're just crazy. They were really good, too. She made her own cheese sauce.
Mm-hmm. That's so
incredible.
Good.
I know. It was amazing.
I'll be over in 20.
I want one right now. I had three for dinner instead of eating real dinner. I just ate pretzels.
Dude, I made a quesadilla tonight. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about it. It changed my life. I made a quesadilla tonight that was life changing. Dude,
funny.
Salt the outside of the quesadilla. I tell you, it's just incredible.
Patrick discovering salt for the first time. White people really don't know how to season their food.
I put all the seasoning on the inside and the beans. I seasoned the beans, but not the outside of the quesadilla.
Uh-huh.
But the salt, it's like a
hey,
chip.
Hey guys, he seasoned the beans. check it out. Figured out how to season the beans.
Hey, look at this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought the J.K. Rowling podcast was interesting because it just that was really the only insight that I had was I think Harry Potter fair. is a moral because she was introduced when she spoke at Harvard. She was introduced as a moral leader, like a moral thought leader, and she talked about all the moral themes in her books about redemption and like flawed characters. She's like the only irredeemable subhuman character. The only irredeemable character in the book was Voldemort, who was a subhuman, willingly subhuman character. Like he chose to lose his humanity to attain immortality, and everybody else was to some degree redeemable. Even the Death Eaters themselves that were like you know, teetering on the brink, right? They could have returned. They could have come back. But it's like it shows like gradients, and that's the thing, right? Is like we've talked in the past about how the character work in Harry Potter is not classical or Christian, right?
Yeah.
Because the character's flaws are not the fatal flaw is not the flaw is not fatal. They don't overcome their flaws often. They just succeed, even though it's like, oh, I'm Harry's anger is not like she said Harry's fatal flaw is his anger. And I'm like, there's no scene in Harry Potter that I remember where his anger like causes a problem that he has to fix, you know?
Yeah. And he never has to overcome his anger to defeat Voldemort at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like it's never a choice to be humble or meek. Mm-hmm. It's the choice. I mean, he does have to sacrifice himself, I guess, at the end, but it's not, he doesn't do it because he's chosen to give up his anger, or his pride. He does it because he has to. It's a prophecy.
Yeah.
You know,
he does it because he has to, because it's a prophecy, which is a vestigial, it's the vestige of a Christian theme,
yeah.
Which is why I think it's a very American, like post 20th century book where it's like, yeah, this is kind of Christian. Like it's the values of love and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And like sacrificial love is there, but it's not. It's not quite Christian, mm-hmm. but it has its moments.
None of this should distract from the fact that the sixth movie is ass. I just rewatched it with Emma. It's it's not good. I remember it being like good, and maybe I've just seen more movies or I have a higher standard of storytelling now than I used to. It's both are true, but. It's just like a scene will happen and then like someone new will enter the frame and they'll bring up like a new thing and then they'll just go to that thing. And then that scene will happen. And then a character will enter the frame and they'll be like, something's happening. And then they just go to that thing. It's a bunch of it's and then, which is, it's boring. It's really sad because that movie, this is a quick tangent. That movie would be so much better. And the book too. The book is probably fine because you can have more depth. But the movie would be so much better if Snape was the main character because he's the one with the arc in that movie. He has to go from not wanting to kill Dumbledore to having to do it, right? Having to accept that this is the way to defeat Voldemort. This is the way to avenge the woman he loved and the way to protect Harry. And he has to wrestle with that all movie long. But we don't see any of it ever. Like, there's no... All you get is him being like, I am the Half-Blood Prince at the end. And that's it. You know, there's nothing to it. But that's like that's where the movie starts, is him making that like oath with Malfoy's mom to like protect mm-hmm. him. And then you see like very short scenes of him like arguing with Malfoy about whatever. But he has to live this like duplicity of helping the boy try to kill Dumbledore, but also... ultimately being in allegiance with Dumbledore the whole time. That's way more interesting than Harry being like the Harry Slughorn thing should be the B story of that movie. Cause it's so
correct. And from what I remember in the book, that is the case.
Yeah. I would hope so. I don't know. I haven't read the books since I first read them. So I could not tell you.
I think I may have read them a second time, but that's about it. They were interviewing people at these Harry Potter things. They're like, how often have you read these books? And someone was like 11 times through.
That's a lot.
For someone in their 30s? Yeah, that is a lot. Like that's own.
It's like once every other year since you can read. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. It's crazy. Oh man. Yeah. And like they started reading them at 10. So they've like basically read it every year, except for like maybe the year they started college. Cause it was hard, you know, like, mm-hmm. That's insane.
Anyway, not that
my
it matters.
Dad watches those movies all the time. He loves Harry Potter.
They're always on TV, so it makes sense.
No, he just watches them on.
He just put he DVD. Pops in the DVD.
He pops them in, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. He'll you'll be you text my dad and he'll like respond with a Harry Potter
meme.
Like meme that maybe I guarantee you if I pull up to my text with him, it'll show up. But he'll just like I need you to see this because it's a picture. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
I'm ready.
It's Ron Weasley. It's Ron Weasley going, yes.
Yes.
But it's a picture of our TV.
That's from the sixth movie. When it's a picture of the TV?
It's a picture of the TV. Like, it's not a screenshot or a picture he got from the internet. He just had, my dad took a picture of that and was like, I'm going to use this as a reply when I text my family.
You should ask your dad to do.
Yes.
You should ask your dad to do a Dobby impression. And then record it and then put it at the beginning of this podcast.
Master gave Dobby a Glock. All right,
anyway,
that's all I got.
No, that's okay too. I think at the end of the day the crux of the matter is if you want to have a healthy community, you got to build it yourself.
And they were right to ban Harry Potter.
They were right, but I also, gosh, it's so much cooler to read a book that's like been wiped off the face of the planet, you know?
It's cooler to read a banned book. They put the
Can you imagine reading Harry Potter? It's been banned and you have like an illicit copy that your parents kept secret and you're like reading it and you get to the fourth book and there's this whole 100 pages about Hermione like joining the union for house elves. And you're just like, what? Why did they ban? This is awful. Why did they ban this?
I can't believe they cut. I'm really glad they cut that from the movie. That's weird. And she's also wrong for doing it too. From what I remember, it's like in the book, it's like wrong that she joined the union for house elves because they like being.
They like it. They like it.
What did she mean? What did she mean by that? What did JK mean? Oh man,
that's funny, dude. I like the house elves, man. They got a good thing going.
Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys on the dating corner. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about in the dating corner.
Do we really?
Oh yeah, Patrick. Do you have anything else for the people? We got to end the show normally.
Tune in next week when we read through every chapter of Harry Potter like it's a sacred test.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. And Lumos.